When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five.
Launches down the middle for McCleskey, and it's a three! James McCleskey, touchdown! Touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds left!
Patterson to the end zone, drives his way in! Virginia Tech has won it in 6 overtimes!
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. As we have a lot going on, of course. We are still a couple weeks away from kickoff, but plenty of college football news is now more and more expansion rumors. We found out today, Joe, that Reggie Bush isn't going to get his Heisman back. He, of course, tried to do that with the NIL deals that all came down in the last couple weeks. So we have plenty to discuss. I want to get into a little Notre Dame with you today too, Joe, because now everybody's writing their Notre Dame articles about what they're going to do with all the musical chairs going around with conference realignment. And also today, Joe Lisi, we have Chad Brown going to join us, former Colorado linebacker, of course played for the Steelers and the Seahawks in the NFL. He's going to chop up a whole bunch of topics with us. So let's get rolling today, Joe. How are you, my man?
Oh, another day in paradise, Carver, and one step closer to the 2021 season. That's all I care about right now. I'm tired of the NIL deals. I'm tired of the talks about expansion, 12 teams, 15. Let's just kick it off on August 28th, and let's just get it on. That's all I really want right here, right now. I mean, I love talking college football, but I'm starting to get amped up. It's great that we have a former standout linebacker from the Colorado Buffaloes with us back in the day, and we're talking about, you know, Coach McCartney back when Colorado was just a national champion. Are you kidding me? Rashawn Salaam, Eric Bieniemy, Scooter, Darian Hagan, Mike. I mean, I could go on and on. To have Chad Brown with us is always, always enjoyable, and looking forward to it a little bit later in the show today.
Yes, we're going to have some fun with Chad talking about everything going on in college football. Today's news for you, Joe. Of course, there's a lot of ripple effects going on right now from in the past week with this Oklahoma-Texas news, which me and you have discussed at length over the past week. Today, now it is that the 12-team college football playoff now is unlikely to happen before 2026 because they're going to have to readjust and rethink all of their ideas depending on what happens here. They have to wait now for all the realignment to settle before they can decide what the proper format is going to be for a 12-team college football playoff. So just when we thought we were going to get that, Joe, it looks like that is going to be taken away from us. It's going to be four teams for a little while here.
We talked about that yesterday, Carver, how the, you know, team number 13 would be complaining, right? And then we might as well just have a college basketball season with 64 teams, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, the fact that Oklahoma and Texas are joining the SEC, right? We know about Clemson. We know about Florida State. Where does USC go? Where does Notre Dame go? They need to figure out the logistics. But in the end, we all know that if those teams have one or two losses throughout a season, they're getting in over the Boise States, over UCFs, right? They're not getting, there's no way you're going to leave out a two-loss Oklahoma team or a two-loss Texas team or a two-loss Notre Dame team in a 12-team college fall playoff because you have an undefeated team from Utah State. That's just not going to happen. We all know that money drives the bus, right?
No, it's 100% true. It's all about money, Joe. It really is. And I did start to see a couple of articles, and I think eventually we do have to start talking about, like, on the field, Joe, with Oklahoma and Texas. Like, we know that this is all driven by money and it's driven by things like that, but, like, when we get on the field, like, how do they compete in the SEC? Where do they stack up with the other teams right now? I mean, we know that Alabama's been the class of the SEC for a long time, but I think there is a discussion to be had about where Texas and Oklahoma kind of slot in to the hierarchy of the SEC teams, not just dollars-wise, which is what's all been discussed, but actually on the field playing football, which is what we really care about.
Well, the thing, the biggest factor in terms of what separates the SEC from everyone else is that they get those elite athletes, not just at the skill players, but they get them in the interior. The offense and defensive line play is just a significantly better and more consistent at the SEC level than it is in the Big 12, Big 10, respectively. Now, that doesn't mean that an SEC team like Alabama can't lose on any given Saturday. We know that. But over the course of a season, over the course of a decade, teams like LSU, teams like Alabama, all they do is reload, but they reload in the interior as well. Go back to the days when 2005 with Glenn Dorsey. Go back to the days, you know, LSU used to be known as DBU, right, with Teron Mathieu and Patrick Peterson. Now it's wide receiver U. You have Jarvis Landry, you have Odell Beckham, but the interior line is where these teams feast. So that's where Oklahoma and Texas are at a significant disadvantage. They get five-star recruits at the skill players, but they don't get that consistent recruit at the five-star level in the interior. Oklahoma's done it a little bit better. They've had sent people into the NFL, but that's where the difference is, Carver.
No, you're right, Joe, 100%. All right, college football full circle. We're just getting rolling here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi hanging on Sports Grid Radio. Later on in the show, Chad Brown is going to join us. A lot to do as we're just getting going. College football full circle rolls on right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
To betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, and our listeners on Sports Map Radio as well. Joe, we mentioned before Notre Dame, and we haven't really danced around it somewhat, where they're going to fit in during this entire thing. Great article last night by Matt Fortuna, covers college football for The Athletic. Notre Dame, the elephant in the realignment room, loves its independence. That's not likely to change, even for truckloads of money, was the title. and you know what? Like, he's probably right. Like, I think there's only one thing that the Irish care about, Joe. They're not really too concerned about, you know, winning conference championships or things like that. All they care about at the end of the day is probably two things: that they still get to play all their home games on NBC every Saturday, and that they have a seat at the table for the college football playoff, whatever it is going to look like when all the conferences shake out. So I still think that they're going to hold kind of in the position that they have right now as an independent conference.
Well, I agree with you in that regard because of the tradition. You think of college football, you think of Notre Dame, right? You think about those storied rivalries and their allegiance to a multitude of Power Five conferences, right? Those games against Notre Dame and Michigan back in the day with Desmond Howard, right? Notre Dame and Penn State early in the 90s, right? Those are the games that really shaped Notre Dame USC. We had the Reggie Bush push, right, when they won the national championship. So think about that and think about, well, if Notre Dame were to join the SEC, what happens to those games? What happens to Notre Dame Stanford? What happens to Notre Dame and USC? Yeah. How can that still move forward? Because that's a part of Notre Dame history. Out of all the programs that we mention, Notre Dame is... And I know that's a perfect, you know, synonym in terms of that, but they are holy in the sense of if there's one program that's going to stand pat, it would have to be Notre Dame, right? I mean, they cannot join a conference and ruin their storied history in that regard. Those games are classic.
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares about that anymore, Joe. I just don't. Like, me and you do. Like, we love the classic rivalry games, but in terms of these executives and ADs and television, I don't think they care anymore. They don't care if Notre Dame play. They got rid of Notre Dame Michigan when they made the ACC move. That didn't happen. Doesn't happen every year now. That's finished. Notre Dame Michigan State every year, that's done. So I don't think that they're going to care that much getting rid of these games. I mean, when Texas A&M first moved to the SEC, I mean, nobody cared Texas and Texas A&M. Like, people cared initially, but now a couple years have gone by. Oh, yeah, they don't play each other anymore. I mean, I don't like it. I'd prefer that they did, but I think we're just getting to so much money and such a point now where trying to preserve these rivalry games just isn't that big of a stumbling block when it comes to the amount of money could be made. And Matt had this in there as well. West Virginia has kind of made it clear that they're ready to go wherever anybody wants to take them, and the ACC is kind of the place, which I was saying to you the other day, that I thought they naturally would fit in as an ACC type of school anyway, because they do have some traditional rivalries with Pitt, Syracuse, etc. from the Big East days already there in the ACC. But an ACC source pretty much said, you know, why would we take West Virginia? We need something bigger to come with them. And what's something bigger? It's Notre Dame. Like, sure, if you're going to add two teams to get even and Notre Dame and West Virginia was coming with Notre Dame, sure, we'll take you. But if Notre Dame isn't coming, why the hell would we want West Virginia?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, West Virginia does also play Virginia Tech this year, which is a huge game for them. That's an ACC opponent as well. Yeah, if I'm the ACC, West Virginia does nothing for you. But does Notre Dame do anything for you? Let me rephrase that. Yes, Notre Dame is a boost. But does it bring you to an equal ground where the SEC is right here, right now? Especially if Clemson bolts? No. And if Florida State bolts, even though they're down, they get the state of Florida to move over to the SEC, what happens then to the conference? What about Miami, a story program that nobody's talking about? It used to be where the SEC would take on Miami and Florida State collectively. right? And then include them with Florida. So you tie up the state of Florida as a whole. You can't take Florida State without Miami. That rivalry as well is going to be burnt.
No, it's true. But I think that Notre Dame does still have, I mean, they have that huge bang. You know, because, Joe, there's probably only a couple programs. And Notre Dame's one of, like, the five or handful that draw eyes to the screen, not only because people love them, but because people hate them. Like, there's only a few teams in college football that can do that. People will tune in, Joe, just to see Notre Dame lose.
Oh, I agree with
you. They can't stand them. Like, Notre Dame, right. Alabama, Ohio State, they have massive fan bases, but people also want to root against them. And that's why Notre Dame still, to me, still has so much cachet, because they are a draw, whether you like it or not, because you love them or you hate them. That's the great thing about them.
Right, and from the gambling aspect, they're one of the most bet teams in terms of college football.
Oh, you're
right?
Always paying that Irish tax, Joe. And you talk about these. Seriously, though, you talk
they're
about.
They're like the Yankees.
When, it's 100% right. The Yankees, the Cowboys, Notre Dame. You know, those are the teams at the books. You're paying a tax on those teams when you bet on them, because there's times when you look at lines for those teams and you go, what is this? Like, wow, it's Notre Dame favorite. But they're Notre Dame. They know that if they make the line too low, all the Notre Dame backers are going to absolutely hammer them. And if they end up winning, they're going to lose a ton. So you're always paying that tax when it comes to Notre Dame. And even that's why I was so surprised, Joe, like this year that their win total is 8.5. Like,
right.
It feels so low to me because that seems like the kind of number at 8.5 that the majority of the Notre Dame fans are going to run to the window and start hammering that over 8.5, despite the fact that they have, you know, new quarterback, reshuffled offensive line, a lot of guys out. They still have a strong D, lost a defensive coordinator, but people are going to run to bet that 8.5, Joe.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. We already discussed that. Right now, week one, they play Florida State as a 9.5-point favorite. They do have Kyren Williams. They have Michael Mayer, their tight end. But it all falls on Jack Cohn. Can he lead this team and take this team to the next level? They play Wisconsin as well on a neutral field. So we have to see how they step up this year. But you're right in terms of the perception of Notre Dame. But 8.5, I think, is fair in terms of them. I think they could be maybe a 9-3 team this year, right there on the number. If their games are not easy, you got to keep in mind they play USC, they play those tough games. It's still logistically challenging in that regard, right? You know, can they step up each and every week against that type of competition? And when you don't have a solid quarterback or your quarterback's questioned, right? Where Jack Cohn did it in Wisconsin, we don't know if he could do it in South Bend. That's a huge concern for Brian Kelly and the crew. I will say this, though, Carver, in terms of the history, you know, when you look at the most watched games, it still is those rivalry type of games, right? The Alabamas versus LSUs, the Alabama-Auburn. Those games matter, right? So Notre Dame-USC still holds weight. You still have to have those type of games play out, even though the execs might not like it. From a sponsorship perspective, people tune into those type of games.
They do, Joe. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying the people that make the decisions now, I don't think that they care. Like, I think the fans do care. The fans care about those games. They want to see those games every year. Like, can you imagine if more of this, you know, ripping things up and Ohio State, Michigan didn't play every year? Like, remember when they split them into divisions, Joe, and there was a chance that they weren't going to play every year, how crazy people went because they might not get Ohio State, Michigan every year, and they finally figured it out and put them in the same division? They wanted to put them in opposite divisions so that they played in the Big Ten title game every single year, and they weren't able to do that because it just didn't work out. But they got to try to find a way to keep these games together, but most of the execs don't care. All right, Joe, college football full circle right here. Joe Lisi and Mike Carver. When we come back, Chad Brown, former Colorado linebacker, going to talk some college football with us right here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi right here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We're going to get Chad Brown up in the mix in a couple minutes here, Joe. I did want to mention to you Reggie Bush, because he wanted his Heisman back, Joe, and basically the NCAA said, no, absolutely not. NCAA spokesperson, previous penalties, including those that are several years old, will not be reevaluated or reconsidered based on the recent changes to the NIL rules. Sorry, Reggie. So sad. I know.
Does it really matter? I mean, he's on a studio show already. We know, but hypothetically, he won the Heisman, so he gave back the trophy. Does he really need it at this point in his career?
You're 100% right, Joe. And here's the one thing. Like, I know that he wants, like, first of all, the physical trophy. Like, he could go buy it in an auction. He's got plenty of money. Go buy the auction and put it in your closet or whatever he wants to do. But, like, Joe, like I said this when they take it away or when they take these fake championships, these banners away, whether it's basketball or football for violations in the past, like, people know you won. Like, people aren't going to sit. Like, we know the amazing year that Reggie Bush has. Whether they want to tell me in the record book that it says he won the Heisman or not, me and you saw it with our eyes, Joe. He was the best player in college football that year.
Like, hands down.
I know it doesn't feel that way to him, and he probably obviously wants that recognition and wants to be able to, you know, go to the Heisman dinner and go and do all that stuff. But we know that he won the Heisman, Joe.
I mean, hands down. Go back to that game against Fresno State in the Coliseum, man. When he tacked on, I think they tacked on almost 70 against Arkansas. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, just the explosiveness in terms of his game, not just running the football, catching the football, punt returns, kickoff returns. Hands down, one of the most electric players that I've ever watched in terms of college football. I mean, another player that's been on our network as well is Marshall Faulk. You just compare both of those players, electric college players, best running backs that I've seen in terms of the last 30 years.
No doubt, Joe, that's for sure. All right, college football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi joining us right now. Former Colorado linebacker, of course, played for the Steelers and the Seahawks in the NFL. Now out in Denver, does a tremendous job talking college football and a lot more, and that is Chad Brown. Chad, thank you for a couple minutes here, my man. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi, how are you?
I'm fantastic, fellas. Looking forward to this football season getting rolling.
Yeah, it's just around the corner. I mean, 1 month from today, Chad, actually. August 28th, we get a couple of those Week Zero games kicking off with, I believe, Nebraska and Illinois, the first one to get it going. So let's get there. All right, Chad, let's run around here. We got to start, of course, with this Texas-Oklahoma stuff. They have put the papers in. They are pretty much saying goodbye to the Big 12, and they're going to be joining the SEC. We have another round of radical realignment, I guess what you want to say here, Chad. Your thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma heading to the Southeast?
I'm not surprised at all. You know, I get a chance to travel around the country and do college football, and at some point over the last couple of years, I've done college football, you know, in every conference. And what the SEC brings is just different than every other conference. And I know that can upset some conferences like the Big Ten that's got a lot of pride and tradition. But SEC football is just simply where it's at. And if you want to 5 years from now, 10 years from now, particularly with the NIL environment being out there, be able to compete, I think you've got to find a way to move yourself into one of these power conferences. And at this time, the SEC is clearly the top. So for Texas and Oklahoma to think about making this move, it's incredibly smart for them. A team like Vandy, how long can you picture them being in the SEC when it's becoming this major power conference? I don't think they'll be able to compete.
Chad, always a pleasure, and I agree with you in terms of Vanderbilt. I think they're on the outside looking in. They're on life support over the next couple of years. If you're the SEC, why do you want Vanderbilt in the conference? They haven't done anything for you in terms of brand marketship or anything for that matter, so we'll see what transpires. But you brought up the NIL deals, and I did want to get your take on that. I mean, going back to your days at Colorado, one of the most dominant teams in college football, there's current situations within the SEC where we see a team like Auburn and Bo Nix that signed an NIL deal. We also see his backup, TJ Finley, that transferred, sign an NIL deal. How do you feel that will affect not just the players in the locker room, but the coaches in terms of putting the best player out there for 2021?
I think this is brand new, you know, obviously for college football. So I think these coaches are kind of cautiously feeling their way through this situation. Listening to the coaches at the Pac-12 media day yesterday, you know, all those coaches were just kind of unsure of what's going to happen. And then at the same time, you've got a coach like Nick Saban who goes out and talks about Bryce Young, his quarterback who hasn't even started a game yet, saying he's got seven figures of endorsements already lined up. What kind of awesome recruiting tool is that for Alabama to be able to, for Nick Saban to throw that out there? I mean, Nick Saban didn't put that out there, you know, as a mistake. He put that out there as a recruiting tool. So now, when you're talking about recruiting, you've got to talk about the endorsements you're going to get when you get there. So these coaches at Alabama have such a tremendous advantage over these other places because of the huge boosters and the amount of money that flows into that program. That's why I think the move to a power conference is where college football has to go. You know, my school, the Colorado Buffaloes, you know, I love them. I look through life through black and gold glasses, but they can't pay the kids the same kind of money as other schools are going to be able to pay. Therefore, they will not be able to compete. So rather than geographic conferences, I see something eventually in college football where there's, you know, a conference of, you know, tier A teams that can, you know, pay these kids tons of money, and that's where these kids end up going, rather than, you know, a Vanderbilt, which is going to struggle to compete in that conference. So the whole alignment now with the endorsements, all this is just really going to change college football over the next 5 or 10 years. And I just, for one, can't see a way for some of these, you know, teams that have, you know, maybe national brands but clearly aren't on the same level as some of these top 10 programs being able to compete.
College football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi. We're talking to Chad Brown. And Chad, you bring all that up, and it's so true about how things are going to get shifted around and some teams aren't going to be able to compete. We thought that we had like a great proposal coming for this 12-team college football playoff system. And now even this morning you start hearing, well, now maybe that has to be rediscussed. We don't know what conferences are going to look like. You know, we're not going to give the Big 12 maybe a seat at the table. What did you think of going to 12 to begin with? And do you think they're still going to be able to pull that off in the relatively near future?
All right, so answer your first question, no, I don't think it was going to be compelling. You know, teams 9, 10, 11, and 12, they have no shot against the teams, you know, 1 through 4. Just think about this. The money the teams in the top four have, your Alabamas, your Clemsons, your Oklahomas, your Ohio States, that hires coaches. That also hires analysts, you know, who just spend their time breaking down and studying plays and breaking down film and all that kind of stuff. They don't even coach the kids, just analysts. Alabama's going to have 10 to 12 analysts this year. Plus, you do facilities, you do training tables, you do the rest of the support staff. Yes, it's no wonder why an Iowa State is going to have a difficult time competing with those kind of teams. Iowa State can ramp it up for a couple of years, but the ability for those top teams from a money perspective to just have the best of everything at all times makes it very difficult for teams 9 through 12 in this college playoff proposal to have any shot of winning it all and competing.
Chad, I've been a big proponent in terms of the college football playoff. I like the fact that it's not a perfect product, right? That's what separates the college game from the NFL, is that the controversy is really what fuels the sport. Go back to your days in 1990 with the split national championship, right? Colorado, Georgia Tech, 1997 as well, with Michigan and Nebraska respectively. Do we need a perfect product in college football, or can we just get by in terms of the controversy, in terms of leaving teams out like UCF or Boise State in years past?
I think it's a great talk radio argument to say, yeah, Central Florida should be in there. Boise State should be in there. But for those reasons I just ran down, I mean, they literally have no shot at all of winning that game. This isn't the NFL where, you know, the league has done so many things to have parity across the league, and you can, you know, kind of rebuild your team within a couple of years. Yes, do I think you can slide into the top 10 and you deserve to maybe to be discussed if this 12-team playoff proposal actually happens? Yes, I think that's what the legitimate shot of winning it, to be in the Final Four, to be in the national championship game, Boise State versus Alabama. I can't even imagine the mismatch that's going to be on the field.
And let's say, and Chad, you're so right, because let's say that that team, whether it's UCF or Boise or whoever, let's say that they did have the day of their lives and they did upset a Clemson or an Ohio State or an Alabama. If there's a 12-team playoff, that means they now have to go the next week and play another one of those teams and have to have a second day of their life, right? I mean, that's the one thing about it. You could have that great upset, but you probably, if you're a team like that and there's a 12-team playoff, you're going to have two or maybe three of those great out-of-world upsets to actually win the title.
This is what I'm saying. So you're 9 through 12. You the gauntlet you have to go through to win this, you don't have much of a shot to begin with. But to do it multiple times, I'm sure there'll be some fans who want to point to some team and some upset along the way. But just, I think, as the
holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Odds would play out as you know, you flip a coin enough times, it's going to be 50-50. Alabama versus Boise State or UCF is just not a fair matchup.
No doubt. Chad, tremendous. We're going to come back, take a break, keep talking to Chad Brown. We're going to have him put the black and gold glasses back on. We'll talk some Colorado football and more. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College football full circle right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, and we are hanging today with former Colorado linebacker Chad Brown, having some fun with him. All right, Chad, it's time. You mentioned before the black and gold glasses. Well, you're about to put them on right here. Let's talk about your Buffaloes. Of course, you were out at Pac-12 Media Day yesterday in Los Angeles. I thought they played really well last year. You know, they went 4-2. Carl Durrell comes in, takes over for Mel Tucker, who ran off to Michigan State the year before, and did a really nice job. 4-2. We've got a win total here at FanDuel of 4.5 going into the season. What do you think about Colorado as we get going here?
You know, I got to be impressed with what Carl Durrell has done. You know, he was a coach when I was a player with the Buffaloes, but I also did a coaching internship with the New York Jets, and he was a wide receiver coach out there. So I got a chance to know Carl pretty well. I think the Buffaloes program is in good hands with Carl Durrell. I still think they have a ways to go talent-wise to be able to compete, not just in the Pac-12 South, but overall for the Pac-12 championship. You know, USC and Oregon are just far more talented teams at this point. I think things are getting better in Boulder. The recruiting's getting better. But I think last year, you have to look at that with a little bit of an eye towards some fool's gold. You know, they didn't play anybody very tough on the schedule. They played a little bit of a system offensively that I don't think they would be able to replicate this year, particularly with the quarterbacks they have. So I'm optimistic because I'm a Colorado Buffalo. I always expect great things for them. And 4.5 doesn't sound like a too tall of a hill to climb, but I don't see it going much past that.
Yeah, we'll see how it transpires in 2021. Let's keep it in the Pac-12, Chad. Let's talk about Chad Helton and the USC Trojans. He seems like dead man walking each and every year. Takes the team to the Pac-12 championship. They lose to Oregon. Now he has one of the best quarterbacks in the conference in Keaton Slovis. Win total of 8.5 on FanDuel at +105 towards the over. What do you think about this team this season?
You know, the Clay Helton thing has always been so interesting. You know, I know the expectation for USC fans is always incredibly high, the amazing tradition that they have there. So I understand the pressure and the hot seat that Clay Helton has been on. But overall, Pac-12 football is just, I think, behind the rest of the top divisions out there, the top conferences out there. So I know USC fans are expecting things that maybe just don't align up with where that conference is. I think 8.5 sounds a little low for me. I'm going to take the over on that one.
That brings me actually to the bigger picture of the Pac-12, Chad, because when we look at the Final Four in the college football playoff, we know the deal. Pac-12 has been, for the most part, left out in the cold each year. I'm always trying to get different teams in there. Sometimes Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, every year, Oklahoma, I'd like to see it. Can the Pac-12... maybe get somebody in there if an Oregon or a USC could run the table? Or is it going to be another year on the outside? Who do you like, if not, to be in that Final Four towards the end?
I don't think it'll be a Pac-12 team. I think Oregon is the best team right now in the Pac-12. They still have some quarterback things they need to get squared away, but they're talented in some other places. But I don't think either USC or Oregon, can make it into the Final Four. Just simply not enough up front, particularly on the offense and defensive lines, to be able to deal with those schools you just ranked. So, unfortunately, I think we got to run this thing right back. It's Alabama, it's Clemson, it's Ohio State, and it's going to be Oklahoma in the Final Four for me.
I don't want to hear that. I do not want to hear that, Chad. Oklahoma, I mean, what can you say? I mean, Spencer Rattler and the crew. I do want to bring up UCLA and Chip Kelly, because to me, this is an interesting program in 2021. He hasn't lived up to expectations. He has a 322 winning percentage with the Bruins. They've shown bits and pieces of consistency. He's developed DTR at the quarterback position, but can this team actually live up to expectations and get back to a bowl game in 2021?
I think a bowl game is a possibility. I think a bowl game is a strong possibility. You know, if you think about the impact of Chip Kelly, both on college and NFL football, it's been tremendous. So for a guy who's been so impactful to have such little impact on the winning record of the Bruins has been clearly disappointing for Bruin fans. But I think this is a year they get it going. It's taken a while for DTR, I think, to mature as a quarterback, but I think he'll be able to guide them to a bowl game this year.
College football full circle right here. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi talking to Chad Brown. Chad, Heisman Trophy this year. You've got your favorites. You know, the last 2 years, you've had guys come really out of nowhere at the beginning of the year. You know, Joe Burrow 2 years ago was a long shot at the beginning of the season for the Heisman. Last year, Devonta Smith, same thing. We come into this season, we've got Spencer Rattler, who Joe just mentioned at the top. He's 8-1. We've got DJU from Clemson, 11-1. JT Daniels, Bryce Young. Do you like the guys at the top here? Is it going to be one of these favorites for the Heisman? Or do you think, once again, we could get an out-of-nowhere guy to come up and take this trophy?
I think it's Spencer Rattler's trophy to lose right now. He'd be the third Sooner quarterback in the last 5 years to win this thing. So that system that Lincoln Riley runs highlights the quarterbacks. Obviously, he's got tremendous teammates around him. The quarterback position is always going to be the leader as far as, the perception for the Heisman. So I think it's clearly Spencer Rattler's to lose. You know, if you're going to look at some other quarterbacks, maybe a guy like Sam Howell doesn't have the rest of the supporting cast around him. So if he were to go out and have one of those do-it-all-by-himself kind of seasons, I think he could be a guy who could possibly sneak up in there for North Carolina. And if you want to go on the defensive side of things, the only possible guy I could see out there from a defensive standpoint would be Kayvon Thibodeau at Oregon, a guy who plays well in big games, plays well in big moments, 18 pressures in the last two Pac-12 championship games, 7 sacks in the fourth quarter in 2019. So he's a guy who because of Oregon playing Ohio State early in the year, he has a great day that game. And then the rest of the relatively easy schedule that Oregon will be playing could rack up some tremendous numbers and could be one of those, you know, crazy Hugh Green kind of, you know, early 80s kind of Heisman defensive guy.
I'd love to hear that, Chad. And Thibodeau plays, like you mentioned, Ohio State September 12th. They're a 10.5-point underdog already. So if they get that victory and he's a dominant presence, he could catapult into the top five. I want to keep it in terms of the Heisman Trophy. What would it take, in your opinion, for a running back to get the trophy this year? I mean, because we saw Derrick Henry like 4 or 5 years ago steal it, but they're an afterthought now. Jonathan Taylor, 2,000-yard rusher a couple of years ago, only came in third. What will it take for a running back to hoist the trophy in 2021?
Well, you brought up Jonathan Taylor, and that was my immediate thought, that I think you've got to go for 2,000-plus, and you've got to do it in some big moments to even be considered. But, yeah, it's unfortunate the disrespect that running backs are getting in college football, and then that's also, you know, disrespect as far as how much they make salary-wise in the NFL for the position with such a short shelf life. I think the perception these guys are just dime a dozen. I think you have a great running back. Clearly, Derrick Henry has been instrumental in what the Tennessee Titans were able to do, and he was great at Alabama as well. So I think it's a perception thing more than a reality, because those guys are clearly important. And a guy like Jonathan Taylor powered that Wisconsin's Badgers offense when they didn't have great quarterback play for a number of years.
Let's give you a couple of these top teams, Chad. Let us know how you're feeling on their win totals. I got to start with the two at the top because they're always there, and that's Alabama and Clemson. They're both 11.5 right now. Now, look, that's for regular season totals, so they'd have to go undefeated, 12-0. It seems like over the past couple years, even though these teams, Chad, have made it into the playoff and made it into the final, every once in a while they do get that one game where they get picked off. What do you think with an 11.5 total for those two monster teams?
Man, you know, I would have to think that, yes, to your point, someone is going to get picked off somewhere. Someone's not going to show up ready to play one day. There will be an opponent that's just, you know, circled this game on the calendar all year long and has got everything clicking. So I'm not exactly sure which one is going to stumble, but I definitely feel both of them will not go meet up in the championship game undefeated.
Yeah, Chad, I want to talk about my Georgia Bulldogs, right? A quarterback that you know well from your days in the Pac-12, JT Daniels, transfers over last year, leads his team to a Peach Bowl victory over Cincinnati. Now they're their favorites to challenge Alabama in 2021. Do you see JT Daniels leading this team to an SEC championship, and can they get over their total of 10.5 this year?
As far as I'm getting over the total, I think that's certainly possible. But JT Daniels taking them to the promised land and hoisting that national championship trophy or winning the SEC, I don't think JT Daniels brings enough to the picture for that to happen for them.
I'm, of course, a Notre Dame Fighting Irish fan, Chad. I know. Apologies. I'm sorry. Love the Irish. Little low this year on the total. 8.5. Of course, we know Ian Book off to the NFL. Revamped offensive line. They lose their defensive coordinator, Clark Lea, to Vanderbilt. An 8.5. Little low for the Irish. What do you think?
I do think that's a little low. I don't see them being a top four team, but I think that win total is a little low. They, from top to bottom, run such a great program. You know, I know you talked about some of the guys who are going to, you know, gone off to the NFL. I still think there's enough depth there where that 8.5 feels low for me.
Chad, I want to talk about Ohio State in terms of that loss to Alabama. They were clearly outmanned in terms of the interior. Offense and defensive line play is where they lost that game. Can they rebuild and can they make a title run this year? I mean, if they were to play Alabama in terms of where they stand right now, do you think it would be a game heading into 2021?
You know, I've got them in the Cotton Bowl with Alabama on New Year's Eve, and I've got them losing that game to Alabama. I just don't think there's enough up front. The, you know, I talked about it a number of times during this call here, is the difference from an Alabama perspective, the size, the beef, the depth they have on those offensive and defensive lines, they just overwhelm teams. They don't have to go out there and trick you and fool you. They can impose their will on almost every team in the country outside of maybe a Clemson or Oklahoma.
Speaking of Oklahoma, is this finally the year that somebody can get them here in the Big 12? As now they're going out the door, you would think, Chad, that maybe these other teams, Iowa State and Matt Campbell, have been very good the past couple of years. They beat them once last year but lost to them in the title game. 9.5 total for Campbell and the Cyclones as we head into 2021. I'd love to see them knock Oklahoma off.
Obviously, you know, just looking at recent history, it has certainly happened. And I love the program that Campbell runs. But in the end, I think the quarterback play is just going to be the difference. Spencer Rattler, I saw him play a couple of times last year. He improved as the season went along, both from a just, you know, understanding of the offense, but also just a kind of a mental and physical toughness that he played with. I don't think Iowa State's going to have enough to prevent Oklahoma from winning the Big 12.
Well, we'll talk about the other big cat in the room in terms of the Texas Longhorns. Steve Sarkisian's there. Win total of 7.5. Could he lead them over that total and to a Big 12 championship this year?
Oh, man. You know, Sarkisian obviously had some success at Washington USC as a coach and then, you know, had his own personal issues. Now rebounded as a great offensive mind, you know, brought Nick Saban to the 21st century as far as football goes, or at least offensive football. Introduced some concepts that I think are going to, you know, remain a part of Alabama's offense now that he's gone coaching the Texas Longhorns. I'm sorry, did you say 7 or 7.5? What was that?
7.5.
7.5.
I will go over on the 7.5.
There you go, over. Chad Brown right there. Tremendous stuff. We can't thank you enough, Chad. We'll talk to you soon, my man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
College football full circle. Carver and Lisi will come back and wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the home of the winning edge, this is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle right here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi. Our thanks to Chad Brown. Tremendous job by Chad as we ran through everything in college football. All right, Joe, you know what time it is before we get out of here. Our week one line of the day. Now, I wanted to give you Colorado in honor of Chad being on with us, but they are playing Northern Colorado FCS team in week one, so I do not have a line for you on that yet. But I do have for you another Pac-12 team that we discussed a lot, and that is the USC Trojans.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going to go USC. Yes.
And they, of course, have Keenan Slovis in week one playing San Jose State and Starkle. Yep. A very good week one game. -15.5 for USC against San Jose State in week number one, Joe.
I'm going to shock you because on paper it looks like San Jose State and Brett Brennan can step up and cover this game, and they can. You know, they were the darlings last year, but I'm going with USC. The speed is going to be the difference. They're not going to take USC by storm here. You know what you're going to get. You have all offseason to prepare. You have Drake Jackson. You have Drake London on the offensive side of the ball, one of the most complete tight ends in college football. I think Keaton Slovis breaks out in a big way here. I think they cover this game easy, and traditionally USC has struggled week one of the season. They barely covered, actually won barely against Arizona State last year. A couple of years ago, they struggled with UNLV and Fresno State. I'm laying the wood here. Big time, USC and Clay Helton step up.
I'm laying the wood too, Joe. You know what? I think you're getting a discounted number here because of how good San Jose State was last year.
Right.
San Jose State was awful before last year. This is a game that USC wins by 3+ touchdowns, Joe, I believe.
I'm with you.
Going away. All right, Joe, great stuff today. As always, I will see you tomorrow. Tremendous job by Andrew Torres. Great stuff from Chad Brown as well. College football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, right here, Sports Grid Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.